Whoa, you went no contact with your family? Like, you don't talk to them at all? Nope, because they're toxic as fuck. Are you also the villain for walking away from your toxic family in order to preserve your peace? Welcome to the Character Outs podcast, where I am on a mission to normalize going no contact with toxic family. Welcome, all you terrible people. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Character Outs podcast. My name is Terry. I am your host. I am not grouchy anymore. Still feisty. Don't worry, still feisty, but I am not grouchy anymore. You know when the veil of PMS lifts and suddenly, you're this brand new person. You're confident. You are gorgeous. Everything is fine. All the stars are aligned. Isn't it weird? You're not a weepy, needy bitch anymore. Oh, I love it. I just love it. And can I just say, I cannot wait for menopause. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, to my peeps who can resonate with that. For the rest of you, you're like, shut up, stop, don't talk about that. Welcome back to a new week. And I hope you guys had a fabulous week last week. I don't know where the days are going. I literally cannot believe where are the days going? Please, someone make the time travel make sense, because it's going so fucking fast. I have my 30th high school reunion coming up in June. Oh my God, next month. 30. How is it my 30th reunion? I mean, how did I graduate from high school 30 years ago? Oh, God. So I was interviewing Cody from the Mind Brain Body Lab, and he's actually going to be on the podcast this Saturday as his episode is released. But he's a really cool dude, scientist, but he's also a cool dude. So our conversation is going to be, like I said, released on Saturday. But before I hit record, we were talking. He's like, yeah, I'm planning my high school reunion. And I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, mine is coming up too, like 30 years. And the face, the look he gave me. I wish I would have been recording, because he looked dead ass in the camera and was like, what? I'm like, yeah, 30 years. And he's like, wow, like, I wasn't even alive then. And I was like, great. Thanks, Cody. It's been a great interview. Have a nice life. It was just funny. I'm like, yeah, Not only have I been alive for that long, that's how long I've been out of high school. Like, riddle me that, Batman, okay? Signed up for a 10K. I haven't done a 10K. I haven't done a run. Gosh, it's probably been about 10 years since I did my last marathon. So excited. Signed up for a 10K with some friends, and I'm excited. But it's interesting. So I have, you know, I live in the Northeast, so when I was training in Florida, it's so different than training in the Northeast. Like, you would have to go on a run. I would have to go on a run either early in the morning before the sun comes up, so it's not blazing hot, and get it over with, or the evening, which then who wants to do that? Because then, like, your belly's full of food and you're tired and blah, 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 blah. So I would always run first thing in the morning. And it's just so funny. Like, I'm like, oh, I run in the Northeast. Like, I can actually, like, run whatever I want, because it's not fucking 100,000 degrees outside with 200% humidity. So it's cool. It's interesting. But I will say, for those runners out there, it's funny because you can always tell the people who trained in Florida and then went on a run somewhere else. Like, when I trained in Florida and went to California, I could handle the heat and the humidity. And the opposite is true if you train in the Northeast. And if I were to do a run in Florida, I wouldn't make it. Like, I'd be dead on the ground because I'm not used to training in that humidity anymore. So anyway, I'm diverting a little bit, but here's my point. So I take breaks in between running. I usually only run in the springtime, where I'm like, oh my God, quick, get the 15, you know, winter weight off. It's time for bikini season. Let's go. And so that's when I'm like, quick. But it's just interesting because I take breaks in between my runs. And whenever I hit the ground again, no matter how many months, literal months have gone by, and I used to dread it. I'm like, fuck, like this is gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough. And don't get me wrong, my pace is for sure a lot longer. Like it takes me probably when I start 12 minutes, no joke, a mile, right? But then I train a little bit and I can bring that down. But here's my point. I always anticipate that first run like it's gonna kill me. I'm gonna die. I'm not gonna make it. And I'm one who doesn't stop. I run my 2.5 mile little loop and I do not stop. That's just something I've always done. And I love, and it hit me this past time because it's been months since I've gone on a run. And I got back into the driveway after running. I'm like, oh, like I'm tired. Yeah, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't as difficult as that first run. Like you guys, I was not a runner. When I first did, I used to do boot camp. And when I did my very first mile, like I couldn't even make it through. And I think that's why I don't stop, because it's just that when I made it to my first mile, like it was such an accomplishment. I remember all my friends were like at the finish line, literally, because I ran 1 mile. Like that's how bad and out of shape and my body just was not a runner inherently. And I remember thinking I was going to die. I literally crossed the finish line at that 1 mile mark and thought I was literally going to die. And it's interesting now because it hit me. I'm like, it's kind of equivalent to our toxic families. And when we look back and we remember how horrible it was, how horrible the first discard was, how about how horrible it was those first months without our toxic families, how horrible it felt. We felt like we were literally going to die. But here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing. We have developed muscle memory. Just like when, even if you've taken months off of running or exercising or whatever, when you hit the ground again, it's never as bad as that first mile. The days get better, friends. So remember that first day you were no contact. It's never that bad ever again. It's never that painful. We heal. We get our muscle memory. We get stronger. And even though we are tired and exhausted sometimes on this no contact journey, it doesn't ever hurt as bad. We never think we're going to literally die like those first few days when we were discarded or when we finally decided to go no contact. So that's it. I literally have no song and I can't like just sing a song and fake it. I can't do that. That I can't. So I don't have a song today. And maybe that's really going to make some of you happy and rejoice in your hearts that you don't have to hear me sing today. And that makes me sad. I'm just saying. But I'm just going to get right into it. So the topic of today's podcast is the fucked up shit that we normalized while we were in the trenches with our toxic family and the things that we need to start normalizing now that we are no contact with them. So let's get started. All right, you guys, I'm literally going to run down a list. And it's funny because when I started to kind of put this episode together, I was like, gosh, you know, I wonder if it'll be difficult to actually write down all of the fucked up things that we normalized while we were in contact with our toxic families. And I couldn't stop writing. I could not stop writing. And I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear what you normalized. What you normalized. What you actually made so normal. What was so fucking just normal in your toxic family. I'd love to hear from you. So here's my list that literally could have gone on for days. Thinking less of ourselves. Tabling our feelings and needs. Taking emotional punches and not doing anything about it. Breadcrumbs. Being to blame for everything all the time. Taking on the blame for everything, even the shit you didn't do. The narrative that if it makes you feel like shit, it's love. You are responsible for everyone's happiness. Apologizing for things you didn't even do. Making things right for the sake of making things right. Not rocking the boat, not speaking up, being the nice girl, going with the flow, carrying the constant burden and ache of pain, even during the good times. Being unable to speak your truth, the constant gaslighting, having the trauma and drama they created thrown back into your face, not being able to stand up for yourself, catering to the needs of the toxic person against your better judgment just to keep the peace. Could you add to that list? I'm sure you can. And it's just so interesting. And this is why this no contact journey is so important. It's important and vital for our peace and our survival. And it is important and vital for the healthy survival of our children. If you have children, it's how we break the toxic generational cycles. You can't undo shit while you're standing in shit. You can't hose the shit off of your boots while you're still walking in shit. You can't. You have to break away from it. So all those things that we normalized while we were in contact with our toxic family, all of a sudden we enter the world. All of a sudden, and this is the thing too, I'm just going to say, most of the people who think, oh, you had no contact with your toxic family, or you don't talk to your family, they still low-key think that we're the asshole. They still do. So we break free of our toxic family and we break out into the world. We're healing. We're cultivating peace. We're cultivating healthy habits. We are speaking our truth. We're doing everything opposite on the list that I just read. And what happens? We lose people. And I woke up this morning and the picture of literally a bar fight went through my head. Like, picture the worst bar fight from a movie that you can remember, right? People are coming at you, boom, punching, hits the bar, falls down. Then someone jumps on you. And then someone comes out from behind you. Someone grabs you by the neck, punch, take him down, take him down. That's literally how I feel on the other side of being in contact with my toxic family. That's how I feel on this no contact journey while I'm now having to weed out all of the people that look like my toxic family. And here's the struggle. We still go back to, well, I have to be nice. Well, you know, being surrounded by people makes me a good person. Well, maybe for some of you, maybe. But here's the thing. For me, I've never been a pack animal. I think it's because I come from a toxic family. I think it's because I was discarded and had to be alone and independent my entire life. I had to figure shit out on my own. Also, I was never taught how to have a healthy relationship with anyone, not with my family, not with friends, not with my siblings, nobody. I was not taught how a healthy relationship works. I was not taught healthy communication. We may have cut people off and cut people off while we were in contact with our toxic family, maybe because our narcissistic mother told us to, maybe because that's the only coping skill that we had. But for me, on this other side, there are people who shouldn't be in my life. There are probably people who shouldn't be in your life, but we keep them in our fucking life because we are like, oh, well, I'm the common denominator. Like, if I let everybody out of my life and I kick everybody out of my life, well, then I'll have no one. Yeah, and so? So then you'll have no one. You might need to have no one but your dog or your cat in your life for a season. Because if you're giving and giving and giving to people who are taking and taking and taking, you have survived a toxic family. Don't enter a toxic relationships on the flip side of leaving your toxic family. Do you know what I'm saying? So I always picture this bar fight. Like, that's literally how I feel. That's how I feel. Because as I take and as I embrace all of the fucked up things I normalized with my toxic family, and as I transpose those things and embrace how fucked up they were and look at life differently, it's like a bar fight. The kill count keeps going up. And you want to know what? I make no apologies, and I'm not mad about it, and I'm not sorry about it, and I wouldn't change anything in the world, because here's what happens. If you continue to cater to the people, you guys, we did it for so many years with our toxic family. Where did it get us? Nowhere. So now that we're on the other side, and now that we're dealing with people, it's okay to only have one friend. It's okay to have no friends, okay? So here is the thing. I'm not a pack animal. I never have been. I've never been a sorority sister kind of girl. I just never have. I haven't ever needed anybody. And I feel like it's empowering to get to that place, because here's the thing. I feel like you have to get to the place of, it's okay if I don't have anyone, from a healthy perspective. I have a whole episode on toxic independence. You have to make sure you're in a healthy mindset. And you have to make sure that you're really in tune with yourself and your boundaries. You know, just like you wouldn't go into a relationship with like, oh, I don't know what I want in a guy. I don't know what I want in a girl. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of winging it. No. We have to be very careful about the people we allow into our lives. We have been damaged and hurt and emotionally and some, for some of you, physically beaten and bruised by our toxic families. We have the authority and the right to choose and to cultivate the people we want in our life right now. It doesn't make us an asshole. It doesn't mean that we're terrible people or that we're the common denominator and we just can't get along with people. No, can we please fucking stop saying that? About, can we please like stop gaslighting ourselves right now? No. So the way it hit me today was like this. Okay, I want you to picture, you guys remember tracing paper? I'm dating myself now because I'm a kid who grew up in the 80s with tracing paper. So what, for those of you who don't know, tracing paper is like this sheer, crinkly paper that you would put over a picture that you wanted to trace. Tracing paper, okay? I know. So picture you take your pencil and you would be able to see the picture with the bold lines through the tracing paper. And so then you trace the lines, and when you pick the tracing paper up, it is an exact image of the picture that you have, right? I'm making something so simplistic sound complicated, but I hope you guys are with me. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to picture your toxic family member. I want you to picture how they treated you, how they made you feel. And I want you to picture tracing paper, and I want you to put it over the template, their template. Maybe it's even their face, because let's be honest, when I picture my mother's face, it brings out some visceral responses in my life and in my heart. So picture yourself putting that tracing paper over the picture, right? Now I want you to grab your pencil, and I want you to start tracing. Trace, 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 trace. Now what do you have? You have two copies of your toxic family member, your narcissistic mother. One is the tracing paper and one is the original. And here's what we have to do on the other side of being with our toxic families. We need to take that tracing paper and we need to apply it to every fucking person who is in our life and every person who enters our life. We need to hold it up to them and we need to start tracing the lines. Oh shit, do they match? Maybe it doesn't match exactly. I mean, listen, toxicity comes in all shapes and sizes, my friends, right? Oh fuck, does 80% of this person do, behave, treat, make me feel like my toxic family member? Oh, fuck. If the answer is yes, why the fuck are they in your life? Tear that piece of paper in a million pieces, throw it in the fire, crinkle it in your hand, and throw it away. You don't have time for that shit. You no longer have time or space in your life for anything, anyone that feels like your toxic family member. You don't. It doesn't mean you're an asshole. It doesn't mean that you're the common denominator and you just can't get along with anyone. Fucking no. Absolutely not. And the other thing I would encourage you to do, which I do, I want you to ask yourself three questions. When you're dealing with someone who maybe made you feel icky about something, maybe made you feel icky about yourself, maybe said something that hit you like, oh, that fucking hurt. Woo, that jab hurt. I want you to ask yourself these three questions. Number one, what does my gut say about this person and this situation? Number two, is this behavior something that my toxic family member would have done to me? And number three, can I get past it? So number one, I always like to go back to your gut. Your gut will never steer you wrong. What steers you wrong is not listening to your gut. What steers you wrong is the fucking nice girl, okay? The nice girl that says, oh, no, but you have to be nice. Like, no, everyone has friends. Everyone just tolerates everything. Everyone just tolerates shit. Like, you have to be the sorority girl. You have to be the nice girl. No, you fucking don't. You can be the mean girl in the sense of channeling, and I love to channel my Miss Blair. You guys know I love Gossip Girl. I love to channel Miss Blair. She doesn't give a fuck. She protects her peace. Now, sometimes she was overtly a bitch, okay? I am not one to be overtly a bitch because I feel like it makes you bitter. And bitterness will not be fixed with Botox. And quite frankly, I don't want to look bitter, okay? I'm being vain. That's just how I feel. So what does your gut say about this person? And don't question it. Ask yourself. And a lot of times you have to say, how is it making me feel? What is my gut saying about this situation? You guys, your gut will never fucking lead you wrong. You have to trust yourself. You've made it this far. You're no contact with your toxic family. Do you understand what a badass bitch you are? Do you understand that you have been through situations that would have crippled and killed most people? Do you understand that you had the strength and the wherewithal to be the cycle breaker in your family, to say no more? Do you realize your strength? And I always say, celebrity status, babes, celebrity status. You have to picture yourself as celebrity status. Do celebrities have a lot of friends? No, they have a couple. Why? Because they have a lot of haters. And we have a lot of haters. We have a lot of haters, not only from our toxic family and all the flying monkeys and everything else, but for me, I have a lot of haters because I don't take shit. I don't allow people who are going to make me feel yucky. And I don't allow people in my life who are going to make me feel like my toxic family made me feel. And I'm just going to say this right now. If someone who knows you knows your trauma, knows what you've been through and uses that against you as a tool and weaponizes it in an attempt to make you stay in a relationship with them, run. Run as fast as you fucking can. That's what hit me this week too, because I had someone fucking just do it to me. My toxic family did it to me. Well, you can't leave. You'll be the toxic one. You can't leave. You'll cut me off. You can't cut me off. Then my narcissistic boyfriend. If you leave me, you'll be just like your toxic family, T. Then my father. You kicked me out of your house like your mother kicked you out of your house. You're just like her. And most recently. Oh, I treated you like shit? Add me to the list. Don't threaten me with a good time. Consider yourself added. We have to be so strong in what we allow and what we do not allow in our lives, and we can't make any exceptions. This is our life, you guys. We live without our toxic families. We live in a place and a space where we have no village, we have no family helping us, we live on this no contact journey, which is not easy. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sacrifice anything. I've come way too fucking far. So trust your gut. Number two, is this behavior that was done to me done by my toxic family?
I don't care if it was gaslighting. I don't care if it was passive aggressive. I don't care if it was manipulation. Was it something that my toxic family did to me? Was it a toxic behavior? Let's be honest, you guys. We know what toxic behavior is. Sometimes we don't want to see it. Sometimes we just want to say, maybe they didn't mean it. Sometimes we've been friends for so long that we want to say, well, you know, maybe they didn't mean it like that. No. Toxic is toxic. Manipulation is manipulation. Gaslighting is gaslighting. And guess what? The definitions haven't changed. And they don't change. And if a person does it, it doesn't fucking matter who they are. But here's the third and most important question. Can I get past it? Can you get past it? Can you get past what was done to you, what was said to you? For me, there are character-defining moments in my life. And I find once someone has really revealed to me who they are and I see it, it's done. It's over. That iron gate will slam shut. I will wave. I will hold my head up high. I will walk away. I will allow them to have whatever fucked up version of reality that they want to have in their castle behind the gate. Bye. I'm off and I'm walking again. But that's a question you have to ask yourself. And maybe it's, okay, well, were they in a bad spot? Are you, number one thing, are you able to say to them, hey, that really hurt me? What is their response when you say to them, that hurt me? Do they respond like your toxic family? Do they gaslight you? Do they manipulate you? Do they turn it on you? Because here's what pisses me off, and here's what people don't know about survivors of a toxic family and survivors of narcissistic parents. We are so aware of ourselves, of our own toxicity, to a fucking fault. Yeah, we know we're fucked up. First of all, we've been told our whole lives that we're fucked up. We know. We're fully aware that we're fucked up. But here's what we have to shake down as if we're panning and mining for gold, right? We're on the side of the river and we're panning for gold and we're shaking and shaking in the river. And we might see stones and, okay, we need to pick that up, get that out of there. That's not going to serve me in life. Yeah, that was pretty shitty. Yeah, I know I do that. That's shitty. All right, get it out of there. But then we find a piece of gold. And that piece of gold might be your strength and ability to say, fuck you. I don't want you in my life. I don't have to have you in my life. Bitch, I don't talk to my mom. I don't talk to my dad. I don't talk to my brother. I don't talk to my stepmom. I sure as shit am not gonna make any compromises or sacrifice my peace for you. Bless your little heart. So if it's something that you've tried to talk through and they're being abusive, they're being manipulative. Bye. Bye. Don't be afraid to cultivate your peace, to cultivate your people, even if it means for a season you have one friend or your cat or your dog. There, I said it. So let's go back to the list that I started out with. Things that we normalized in our toxic families that we have got to start normalizing and flipping the script now that we are no contact with them. Thinking less of ourselves? Well, we always thought less of ourselves because to think of ourselves was always selfish, right? No, it's okay to think of yourself as a badass and worthy of everything that you want. Worthy of being treated nicely. Yes, people have fights. Go back to the three questions. Go back to the tracing paper. Tabling our feelings and needs? No. I'm sorry. If something hurts me, you're going to know about it. Breadcrumbs. I know my worth. I hope you know your worth. Breadcrumbs are no longer acceptable. Being to blame for everything all the time? No. Am I to blame for some things some of the time? Yes, of course. Because I have a healthy mindset. But I refuse to fall on the sword every fucking time just to keep the peace. The narrative that if it makes you feel like shit, it's love, right? No. We have such a distorted view of what love is because of our toxic families, because of our narcissistic parents. We think love should hurt. We think love leaves us. We think love is inconsistent. We think love is chaotic. It's not. It's not. So if a relationship looks like that in your life right now, on the other side of being no contact with your toxic family, take a step back and evaluate it. You are responsible for everyone's happiness? No, you're fucking not. We are no longer responsible for anyone's happiness. Apologizing for things you didn't even do? Oh, girl, I hope you're not doing that anymore. Making things right for the sake of making things right? I'll go back to the sorority girls comment or the pack animals. We're not pack animals. We're not sorority sisters. We don't have to make things right. Did we do that for our fucking family? No. We're not going to do it for people who are mistreating us now. Not rocking the boat, not speaking up, being the nice girl, going with the flow. No, 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 no. Being unable to speak your truth. You guys, if you are in a relationship with a friend, with anybody, and you are unable to speak your truth, and your truth is manipulated and thrown back at you, or you're gaslit, oh, again, run as far away as you can. If anyone is using tactics that your toxic family used against you, gaslighting, manipulating, ghosting, you guys, that's unacceptable. It is no longer acceptable. And it's scary. And like I said, we always go back to, well, look at the kill count now. Oh, how many people are out of my life? Oh, I fucking have no one. Well, I'm the common denominator. It's me. I cut everybody off because what has everyone said? I know for me, when someone is displeased that I don't like their behavior and they're not willing to change, I become the asshole. Well, I'm totally fine being the asshole. I'm totally fine with it. And you need to get okay with being the asshole because you don't have to have everyone in your life doesn't have to be in your life. And maybe they were, like I said on my last episode, maybe they were okay yesterday and maybe their behavior was okay yesterday, but it's not okay today, and that's okay. So I'm very emotional about this topic, you guys. I'm so emotional and so passionate about it because we are the ones who are forging the path. Society, most of society doesn't get it. People in our life don't get it. It is not up to us to change them. It is not up to us to convince them. It is not up to us to cater or lessen ourselves for them. When we went no contact with our toxic family, we woke up. We roared like a fucking lion on top of the mountain. We preserved our peace. We realized the toxicity and we broke free. And as we're traveling down this path of no contact with toxic family, we are going to be looking around and we have to choose who we bring into our circle very, very wisely. And we need to normalize that there's nothing wrong with that. You are in charge of your life. You are in charge of the people who get to come and the people who you say goodbye to. So that's it. I hope that you feel empowered. You don't have to ever explain yourself. If something hurt you, you don't have to explain yourself. And you don't have to be fucking friends with anyone who makes you feel bad about yourself. You don't. Your toxic family did enough of that for you. Those days are over. Look at this no contact journey as your era of empowerment. You are empowered. Your eyes are wide open. And sometimes it looks like you're in a bar fighting off all the toxic people. But guess what? I've been there with you. I'm there with you. I'm in the trenches with you. And we are not alone on this journey. Cultivate your peace, number one. And be okay with being alone. Because eventually, those people will be a distant memory. And you will have the space for good people to come into your life. For people who treat you well. For people who match your energy. For people who will make you a better person. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. So That's all I got for you. Feel free to email me, characterartspodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to know what you normalized when you were in the trenches of your toxic family. And I would love to know now what you struggle with on the other side. What is it that you still gaslight yourself into? I would love to hear back from you. Please let me know. Come on over to Instagram, Character Arts Podcast. And that's it. I hope you guys are doing well. And cheers till next time, friends.